Good morning. Welcome to Faith Community United Methodist Church on the second Sunday of Lent. We're on this journey through Lent on our way to Easter, and I hope that you will take this journey with us. And it is kind of rainy outside, but that is a sign of spring. You know, we like to think the sunshine and all that is part of spring, but the rain is part of that, and so is this Lenten season. You know, we think about that celebration, but if we can think about, you know, all that we go through on the way there, that is part of our growth and understanding of what rejoicing we have. So appreciate everything you get through the spring and through everything that you have. Also want to give a couple of announcements about our congregation. Joanne Sitters, she passed away this weekend. They're planning a service for Friday at 10 o'clock viewing and 11 o'clock in the service here. That's the plan. I haven't really worked it all out, but that's what we're thinking. Also, I just wanted to, for all those folks who know and have been praying, my mother-in-law Suzanne's mom is in the hospital. She has got a long road ahead of her, so continue your prayers. We'd appreciate that as well. There are other announcements in here today. The women's group, Women United, will be meeting. The Men of Faith will be meeting this on tomorrow. And then just put in your calendar for April 7th. Those groups are coming together. They've invited the high school jazz band to come for an evening. So take note of that and participate with that. And continue in our ministries, Jackson Area Ministries, help out with them, getting them the seeds and finances to help with their ministry would be great. And also, don't forget the Lenten offering is for VBS, so the extra mile giving during the Lent season, we will be taking those funds and supporting of our VBS program here. And also, for those that are on ad board, we're going to postpone with everything that's going on with our family, our meeting Thursday. And we're going to reschedule that for, you know, maybe a couple weeks or something. We'll get back to you on when we reschedule that. With that, let us prepare for worship.
Good morning. Please rise for our call to worship, printed in your bulletins and on the screens. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Make us understand the way of your precepts, O God, and we will meditate on your wondrous words. And please remain standing for our opening hymn, My Hope is Built. It is number 368. We're going to sing verses 1 through 3. It is also on your screens. Please join with me in our opening prayer, which is printed in your bulletin. Mighty God, we come into your presence from many different places and situations. Light our way in this time of worship. Calm our hearts, focus our thoughts, and strengthen our faith as we pray and praise this day. Amen. And if I could have the children come forward, please. Good morning. How are you three doing today? Good. Well, I am going to do something today. I'm going to recycle a children's sermon. You know what recycle means? Reuse, redo it. So this is a children's sermon I've done before, but I don't think you guys have seen it. And so I thought, oh, this is a good one, especially for the season we're in leading up to Easter, the Lenten season. And so I'm going to start with this perfect sheet of paper. And I'm going to have, he's going to hold the mic for me because I need two hands. All right, so this is a perfect sheet of paper like Jesus was perfect, right, when he was here on earth. And I think I need to come over.
Over here?
We take technical difficulties here.
We're going to work this out.
We're going to work it out, yeah. So come on up here, guys. I want you to watch this. So what happened is that Jesus was perfect, but the world was not. And so Jesus, God sent Jesus down here, right? He sent him down. And he came all the way down, and he came down here to be with us, right? And he came to be with us. See how this is kind of an arrow? To point us to the Lord, right? To point us to God. But we were pretty sinful. People were pretty sinful. And so he decided he needed to cover our sins. So see how he kind of covered our sins? It does look like a paper airplane, doesn't it? But I'm about ready to make it not look like a paper airplane. Because what happened was that even though Jesus was trying to do good things, people were not pleased. And so they tortured him. Right? And they did even worse. They did even worse. They crucified him, didn't they? Crucified him on the cross. And so Jesus died. And I want you to look at this. This is cool. When you open up this paper, what do you get? Get the cross. Get the cross. And here's a bunch of junk, right? This is just a bunch of junk. No, it's not. This is pretty cool, guys. Whoops. If you can help me open these up, just help me open them up. I want to show you something really cool about this. You take that junk, you look at it from my perspective, Jesus dying on the cross did what for us? He gave us life. Yes, absolutely. And so I just think that's a really cool little exercise to remind us that Jesus dying on the cross was not about Jesus. He didn't do that for him. He did that for us, you guys. He did that for us so we could have life. We could have eternal life with him. Let's close in a short prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for sending Jesus to us. And we so are so appreciative of Jesus for dying on that cross so that we could have eternal life with you. Amen. I'm gonna leave this here in case anybody wants to see after. It's kind of cool. Maybe it's just me who likes it. But all right.
Our prayer hymn is Seek Ye First, number 405. Let us go for our Lord, bringing everything that we came with, as we said in our opening call to worship. We all come from different spaces and places and situations, but we come seeking the kingdom first. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, we do come. We come as the body of Christ because we have come to know your Son who has drawn us in and given us life. Lord, we just ask that you would meet us where we are. We all have something on our hearts. If it hasn't made it to our hearts, it's on our minds. Lord, we'd ask that you would consider us holy. Not holy as in you are, but consider our whole body, mind, body, and soul as you minister to us. Because you are holy, Lord, you are able to take us from where we are and to bring us to who you are. That is through your power of the Holy Spirit that works in us and among us. Lord, as we submit to you and we come to you as we are in this moment, seeking you, knowing that if we seek you, we shall find, we shall understand what is before us, even if just the next step. Because, Lord, any other steps we take without you are bound to lead us astray. Lord, may we be drawn to you so much that we don't want to take any step without you. Let us walk with you. May you be the one that is just even a half a step ahead of us. Help us to keep our place, following you, not trying to lead you where we want to go. It is easy for us, O God, in our individual situations to really rapidly go somewhere. Help us to hit the pause button. Help us to see how you are at work. Open our eyes and our hearts to you so that we can be in step. Lord, there are many things that are stumbling blocks for us. There are signs that direct us in one direction and others that send us another way. Help us to discern what is your way. Lord, we are open to you. And again, meet us where we are. Wherever that may be, and draw us close to you. Let us now share together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now as we respond with our hearts open to the Lord and the Lord's leading, we understand where we are to place resources as we walk with our Lord. Remember the VBS offering as well as our regular giving is being received. Ushers, would you please? Please join in the prayer of dedication. Loving God, our shelter and hope, as we walk through this holy season, we come to you with hearts open to your grace. Strengthen us to be a source of light and love in this world. Use these offerings to bring comfort to the weary and hope to the brokenhearted, just as you draw near to us in our struggles. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please remain standing for the gospel reading.
Our gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up a mountain. He sat down, and his disciples came to him. He taught them, saying, "Happy are people who are hopeless, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are people who grieve, because they will be made glad. Happy are people who are humble, because they will inherit the earth. Happy are people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because they will be fed until they are full. Happy are people who show mercy, because they will receive mercy. Happy are people who have pure hearts, because they will see God. Happy are people who make peace, because they will be called God's children. Happy are people whose lives are harassed because they are righteous, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are you when people insult you and harass you and speak all kinds of bad and false things about you, all because of me. Be full of joy and be glad, because you have a great reward in heaven. In the same way, people harass the prophets who came before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again? It's good for nothing except to be thrown away and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on top of a lampstand, and it shines on all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people so they can see the good things you do and praise your Father who is in heaven." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You may be seated.
Lord, I pray.
Last week, we began a Lenten sermon series titled The Message of Jesus, which is inspired by Adam Hamilton's book of the same name. This series will take us through Palm Sunday as we prepare for our Easter Sunday celebration, and I hope you will take this journey with us. This series began looking at Jesus' first sermon, declaring the good news of the kingdom of God being near. I concluded that if Jesus' message is to believe in this good news, then we are to submit to God's reign in our life. Commit to live now in the ways and will of God. And actively close the gap between the way the world is and what it should be under God's reign. Now, during my message to launch this series, I shared about Suzanne and my rapid road to the altar of marriage. Today, I want to let you in on our varying abilities to navigate our way on our road trips. Don't start laughing yet. I never really traveled much, but I've always been intentional about learning the area I live in, so I can usually get around without much trouble. However, when I am unfamiliar with the roads, I'm not hesitant in just turning down roads to see if I can get where I'm headed. Suzanne has pointed out that I am very good at finding dead-end streets when I do this. Suzanne is really our navigator. She has a good sense of direction. She is good at pre-planning our trips. And in the last almost 34 years of marriage, we have gone from using those large road atlas maps to using triptychs from AAA to navigating with a TomTom device to following our GPS apps on our phone. Something that I've noticed with GPS apps is their accuracy and their more recent capacity to reroute due to slow traffic, accidents, or road closures. And if I would commit to using the GPS system all the time, pretty much like my kids do now, perhaps I could avoid the dead-end streets. It has almost got to the point that our GPS apps do know the better route we should travel at any given moment. Hamilton suggested in his chapter titled The World's Most Important Sermon, and it's not mine, if the kingdom of God is Jesus' driving vision, the Sermon on the Mount serves as the roadmap for how his followers are to live out that vision. The Sermon on the Mount covers 3 chapters and 110 verses in Matthew's Gospel. Only 16 verses were read this morning, just to give us a feel of Jesus' guiding message. The teaching is familiar to most of us, but familiarity isn't the result Jesus was aiming for. Hamilton quoted John R.W. Stott's reflection, saying, "The Sermon on the Mount is probably the best-known part of the teaching of Jesus, though arguably it is the least understood and certainly it is the least obeyed." The Sermon on the Mount is important for the world because it aims to change the world for the better as believers in the certainty of the kingdom of God turn to Jesus' message to navigate their way in the world. There is way too much in these 3 chapters in Matthew to digest it in one sermon or one sitting, so I want to offer 3 high-level road markers as we discover what guidance does the Sermon on the Mount give us. So Jesus began his teaching in the synagogues. That's the gathering places for the Jewish people. And it wasn't long before he attracted large crowds. So perhaps out of necessity, Jesus went to an open area on the side of a mountain in Galilee to teach the crowds who came to hear him, hence the name Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' teaching was different from the teachers of the law. Even though he would reference the sacred texts, it was clear that Jesus came with a message he was inspired to share with the world. He addressed first the Jewish people for obvious reasons, but his message was for all disciples who responded to the good news of the kingdom of God being near. There's little doubt that anyone who encounters Jesus, his message is unexpected. Here, Jesus set the stage by setting expectations for those living under God's reign. Jesus did this by sharing what we know as the Beatitudes. And Beatitudes were common sayings that expressed good fortune, happiness, and blessing. Beatitudes don't usually catch people off guard, but Jesus' teaching did. Perspective is everything. So let's get some perspective. If I were to ask in general what people today think brings happiness, what would you say? A great job, nice house, popularity, wealth, power, success, security, freedom to do what we want. Our country's founders made sure to put in our Declaration of Independence that we have the right to pursue happiness. Happiness, as we each choose to define it, is an expectation that we have. Jesus flipped everything upside down when he rattled off a bunch of beatitude expressions that didn't match up to the expectations of the world. Now, there are a couple of things we must keep in mind when we receive Jesus' beatitudes. First, they are in light of the kingdom of God being near and imminent, but still alongside the existing influence of the world as we know it. Second, we must consider the whole expression, not just the means, but the end too. The first few beatitudes that are shared speak directly to some of the hard realities that we face in the world as it is. Things like hopelessness, grief, and injustice. In light of the kingdom of God, we have a new outlook of hope and even experience a lift in our spirits in the midst of the hardships when our eyes are on Jesus and His reign. The outlook of hope isn't only in what the future holds, but also in the Holy Spirit-empowered response of believers who live the kingdom way now, which is expressed in the latter Beatitudes, where the happy show mercy, offer love to all, make peace, seek justice for others. Hamilton adds, "Those he mentions as blessed or happy now are so because they know and trust what will be in the kingdom of God." Jesus calls for a perspective shift, which broadens our view to see beyond the accolades of the world, which are fleeting. Jesus' message is to pursue happiness that is eternal. In our pursuit of worldly happiness, we become weary and worrisome. Jesus teaches later in his Sermon on the Mount to not worry about our life, rather seek the kingdom first, and all that we need will be given as well. See, pursuing the kingdom of God is a pursuit of happiness. After the Beatitudes, Jesus offered ways to live a life pursuing the kingdom of God. He first shared, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again? It's good for nothing except to be thrown away and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill can't be hidden. There are many things that I could say about what Jesus means about being salt or being light. But the bottom line is that those pursuing the kingdom of God are not to be ashamed or subtle about their pursuit. Salt and light are change agents in their specific ways. Likewise, kingdom people are to be change agents in the world by living in the way Jesus described in this most important sermon. Before Jesus provided guidance in the way of the kingdom, he declared, "Don't even begin to think that I have come to do away with the law and the prophets. I haven't come to do away with them, but to fulfill them." Jesus was saying, everything in the law and the prophets is fulfilled in Him. So following Him and His teachings won't neglect any of it. However, the guidance from Jesus goes beyond the letter of the law to reach the depth of our hearts, where our hearts are God's greatest concern. Now, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were so consumed by the study of the law that many of them failed to experience a change of heart. As a result, Jesus called them hypocrites. The Greek word for hypocrite was associated with actors, or acting, and a mask. Jesus accused the Pharisees' commitment to God's ways as fake, or all show, not rightfully motivated. To correct their ways and guide His disciples, Jesus taught things like this that I'm going to share with you in His message. "You have heard that it was said to those who lived long ago, 'Don't commit murder, and all who commit murder will be in danger of judgment.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with their brother or sister will be in danger of judgment. And this, you have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth,' but I say to you that you must not oppose those who want to hurt you. And this as well. You have heard that it was said, 'You must love your neighbor and hate your enemy,' but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who harass you, so that you will be acting as children of your Father in heaven." These teachings expose the limitations of laws. They are like check engine lights. If we don't pay attention to what is on the inside on a regular basis, we end up in trouble. However, if we focus on the heart of the matter and open ourselves to what it is to love like Jesus, then we will be able to uphold the laws that govern our human relationships. Then in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus confronts the Pharisees again, their hypocritical expressions of reverence of the Lord their God. He challenged their motivations behind their giving practices, their prayers and fasting habits. Again, Jesus referenced their actions as showy and disingenuous as they looked for adoration or at least respect for their religiosity. God isn't looking for glory seekers. God desires our hearts. Hamilton writes, "Jesus is again speaking of motive, living our faith in such a way that people see an authentic love for God and others is important. It is our witness. We are created to be in relationship with God, each other, and all of creation. Sustaining good relationships isn't accomplished simply by following rules. We have rules because we are sinners. Jesus came to change that by changing our hearts, and He has covered our sin by His work on the cross. However, we must take His message seriously and submit to His reign to experience the transformation He can bring us. Jesus' message is to exchange law for authentic love. Andy Stanley, maybe you've heard of him. He's a widely known pastor, teacher, and author. He shared one of his messages titled, What Love Requires. And in this message, he suggested Christ followers should ask themselves this question in any situation. What does love require of me? What does love require of me? It isn't an easy question to ask or answer. But it is a great question for us to take seriously as we navigate our way with Jesus as our guide. Then in Jesus' closing remarks of his Sermon on the Mount, he cautions us to not judge others, but rather it is crucial that we take a good look at ourselves. He admits the road forward in this world as it is a hard path, as he encouraged us to follow his way, saying, go in through the narrow gate. The gate that leads to destruction is broad and the road wide. So many people enter through it. But the gate that leads to life is narrow and the road difficult. So few people find it. It is only difficult because it is easy to stray off the path. However, if we pay attention to our steps, our witness, and our motivations, we'll be able to see the beauty of the narrow path. Jesus warned, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will get into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. On the judgment day, many people will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and expel demons in your name and do lots of miracles in your name? And I'll tell them, I've never known you. Proclaiming Jesus and performing miracles are good things. But if we aren't backing it up with a life that witnesses to the love of Jesus, then we have failed to know Jesus in a personal way. It is easy to tell who knows Jesus and who Jesus knows. Jesus tells us how, saying, you will know them by their fruit. Do people get bunches of grapes from thorny weeds, or do they get figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces fruit, and every rotten tree produces bad fruit, and a rotten tree can't produce good fruit. If we are watching, we will see the fruit in others. And if we are faithful in our submission to God's reign and heed Jesus' teaching, then we'll produce good fruit. Jesus' message is to follow the fruitful path. Lent is a great time to evaluate our path and our fruitfulness. It may seem hard, but that is good. Remember, the difficult and narrow road leads to life. Friends, we can journey through life just taking roads to see where they end up, like me and my GPS-less driving, find ourselves at a dead end. Or we can open up to the world's most important sermon's guidance system to discover Jesus really does know the better route in any given moment. Jesus laid out the map before us and encouraged us to pursue happiness that is eternal by exchanging the semblance of law for the authenticity of love as we follow the fruitful path to abundant life in the kingdom of God. So instead of being amazed and overwhelmed by Jesus' message, let's seek the kingdom of God by living into his life-giving message by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand for our closing hymn, and it is in insert in your bulletin. It's His Eye Is on the Sparrow.
Thank you.
The rain may be coming down, but the sun will come. Our grief, our hopelessness, whatever it may be, is not reason to stay there, because the sun has risen. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.